appreciate that singing. Say amen. I appreciate the good choir singing. I'm glad we got somebody to rejoice in. I'm here to tell you they're singing about him, looking to Jesus. Thank God. He'll bring the light in. He'll bring life. He'll bring the loaf. Amen. I praise him and thank him. Just been a good day in the Lord today. And I'm just glad I'm here. Appreciate God's goodness. But it's come time for preaching. I appreciate Brother Joe Arthur. Has a love for God, love for camp meeting. And I'm glad that I've locked arms with him. I appreciate him. I want you to hear him gladly tonight. I believe God wants to do something in this service. Change our lives. Help us. We need help, church. We certainly do. We need help. We need help from above. We don't need a loan. We don't need a job. We need help from heaven. Amen. Brother Joe, you carry out the service as you feel it. Love you.
Glory to God. And I'll tell you, that made me on shouting ground right there. That ought to make your Presbyterian want to get sprinkled again. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Clouds roll back. The sun starts shining. Pain and heartache disappear. Glory. Hallelujah. Wasn't that good? That's better than good. God is good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. He said, what are you doing? I'm licking my bread. Hallelujah. Glory. I'm so glad I was raised where them words are not strange to me. Even when a woman says it. Hallelujah. Glory. And amen. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. It has been a joy and a privilege to be back again. And I don't take for granted, Brother Steve, all the years you've asked me to come. And I appreciate it. And I love you. And thank the Lord. You be faithful to this meeting the rest of the week. The little orderlies made such a mess, they got some doctors coming to clean it up. And you'll enjoy the rest of the meeting on into next week. And I'll be praying for you. God's hand and blessing be upon you. God is good tonight. I appreciate all the good preaching. And I appreciate this morning. It done my heart exceedingly good to hear a Baptist preacher still preach on being filled with the Holy Ghost. I was preaching one time, and a pastor said to me at the end of the service, well, he said to me the next day, I preached that night before on the Spirit-filled life. And he was taking me to the airport, and he said, Brother Joe, I want you to know before you leave, I don't believe one word of what you preached last night. And I said, well, I want to tell you before I get out of your broken-down Dodge pickup truck, I believe it enough for me and you both. And I said, and if you don't want your blessing, son, pass her down my way. I'll take a double dose of high-octane Holy Ghost power. You say, I thought you was Baptist. I'm Holy Ghost Baptist. Hallelujah. You are too if you believe the Bible. Done my heart good. Praise God. Brother Mays used to say, we ought to call recess and shout for 30 minutes. Oh, my soul. God is good. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, turn to somebody beside of you and say, you look better with your mask on. 2 Timothy chapter number 3, this know also, that in the last days, perilous, dangerous, unprecedented times shall come. And the beginning in verse 2 down to verse number 4, he describes the depravity of the day. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, shady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure, more than lovers of God. Sounds like I just read the headline of today's newspaper. And we're living in days that are perilous, dangerous, unprecedented days of depravity. Look in verse number 5, days of deadness, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And it's one thing when the signs of the times are fulfilled in the social world, but it's really bad when it's being fulfilled in the so-called religious world. There's a lot of things today that look like church, smell like church, act like church, but there is no unction. There is no power. There is no Holy Ghost. All is vain unless the Spirit of the Holy One comes down. Days of depravity, days of deadness. If you will, come down to verse number 12, days of difficulty. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall do what? Suffer persecution. Brother, the further we go in this dispensation, the more problems and difficulty we're going to have. Trying to live the dedicated, separated, spirit-filled life in a wicked, ungodly world has never been easy. Someone said, how's the world treating you? Rotten like it ought to. The world is not our home. The world is not our master. They're not singing our song. They're not reading our book. They're not praising our God. We're on hostile territory. Hallelujah. We're just strangers passing through. I thought I'd just stop by Taylorsville, North Carolina tonight on my way to the city and say, hallelujah, Jesus is still good. Days of difficulty. Come down to verse number 13. Days of deception. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And watch this phrase, deceiving and being deceived. Man, we're living in that day. Well, they'll take the evil and call that good and take the good and call that evil. Days of deception. Days of difficulty. Days of deadness. Days of depravity. What are we going to do in the midst of all of that? What is our calling? What is our responsibility? Verse 14, here's our text tonight. But. Boy, I like it when God butts in. Business picks up when God butts in. But, say it with me one word. Here it is. Say it. Continue. He didn't say back up. He didn't say give up. He didn't say throw in the towel, but it's continue. Even in the midst of depravity, continue. In the midst of the difficulty, continue. In the midst of the deadness, continue. In the midst of the deception, continue. The message to God's church tonight is not one of regression. It's not one of quitting. It's not one of cooling off, calming down, or turning around. But it is continue, continue, continue. Press on, preacher. Press on, pilgrim. Press on, child of God. Continue. What do you continue in? Verse 14, but continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. Watch this in the text. And hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Amen. Can I remind you tonight, it's not what we don't know that's going to get us through. It's what we do know. It's not what we're not assured of. It's what we are assured of. And I'm glad tonight in the midst of a world full of change, a world full of sin, and a world full of apostasy, in the midst of uncertain times, I'm assured, I am confident that the church can keep on going in the midst of perilous times. I know the times are dark. I know the days are difficult. I know sin's at an all-time high. But I have learned that God is still upon his throne. I have learned that the Bible is still the Word of God. I have learned that the Holy Ghost is still in business. And I have learned that the blood has never lost its power. Continue, continue, continue. Here we have an old preacher by the name of Paul encouraging a young man by the name of Timothy. And this old man is pouring his life and his soul into this young man. And he is telling him in the midst of the signs, in the midst of the trouble, in the midst of the darkness of perilous, dangerous, unprecedented times, don't you quit, don't you back up, but press on, continue. Because I'm glad tonight we have certain truths for uncertain times. I enjoyed that so much. Can I say that again? We have certain truths for uncertain times. And brother, for the last 14 months, the church has gone through some uncharted territory. We are using terms I have never heard of in my life. I had never heard of the word corona. Now, some of you did for you got saved, but it wasn't a bad cold. I had never heard of the term social distancing. I knew I didn't want to go to my mother-in-law's, but I didn't know what to call it. So I've been social distancing. Who ever heard of going to the bank with a mask on? Who ever thought we'd go to a Baptist church and not pass the plate? Whoever thought there would be a day when our churches would be closed and the abortion clinic and the beer joint and the tattoo parlor wide open. Brother, we've not been here before. These are dangerous, perilous, unprecedented times. But even though we're uncertain of what tomorrow may hold, I'm glad we know who holds tomorrow. I don't know what politics is going to do. I don't know what the economy is going to do. I don't know what the pandemic's going to do. I don't know what Wall Street is going to do. I don't know what the religious world is going to do. But this I do know. I'm sure. I've got assurance. Tonight the church is not singing sorrowful, sorrowful doubt. We're singing blessed assurance. Jesus is mine, because in the midst of uncertain times, we've got certain truths that'll help you continue. Keep on going when the going gets tough. We got a reason tonight to press home. Watch as this old man pours his heart into this young man. Four reasons. Number one, look in chapter number one and verse number 12. Here is certain truths for uncertain times. Notice what he said in chapter 1 and verse 12. For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For, whoop, I know. For I know not what, whom. For I know whom. I'm enjoying the fire out of this. For I know whom I have believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I'm glad tonight in the midst of uncertain times, there is certain truths. What is it? Number one, my salvation is permanent. You know what to keep you going in the midst of perilous, dangerous, unprecedented times, knowing that you're saved, having it secure, and having it settled. And I'm glad to report to the body of Christ tonight, the pandemic will not affect our salvation, and the stock market won't affect our salvation, and politics won't affect our salvation. The signs of the times will not affect our salvation. The media will not affect our salvation. The apostasy of the religious world will not affect our salvation. We were saved before, we're saved during, and a billion trillion years from now, we'll still be enjoying our salvation. You say, preacher, give me one reason to press on. We're saved, and that should be enough. Thank God for old time, blood washed, Holy Ghost infused, Bible salvation. When you've got that nailed down, that'll keep you going when the going gets rough. You say, what's so good about the salvation? Well, according to verse number 12, it is a no-so salvation. In fact, the only salvation that's proclamated in the Bible is a no-so salvation. We don't think we're saved. We don't reckon we're saved. We don't hope we're saved. We're not holding on to the end. We know that we have been saved. I asked a fella one time in Oklahoma. I said, sir, do you know you're saved? He said, young man, I don't know that. You don't know that. Nobody knows that. You can't know that until you die. I said, sir, with all due respect, you may not know, they may not know, she may not know, he may not know, but I know whom I have believed. And I said, sir, if you wait till you die to figure out whether you're saved or not, you've waited a millisecond too late. Aren't you glad tonight we don't go to a church that won't make a saint out of you till you're dead? Brother, you're looking at Saint Jojo right now. I mean, beloved, now are we the sons of God? Hey, I'm not on the outside hanging on. I'm on the inside looking up. I know that I passed from death unto life. I know I'm his and he is mine. I know that my Redeemer liveth. I'm glad tonight, in the midst of uncertain times, our salvation is a no-so salvation. You say, what's so wonderful about it? According to the text, it is a personal salvation. Notice the personal pronouns he uses in verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which Paul said. I'm not telling you what Peter's God. I'm not telling you what John the Beloved's God. Timothy, I'm not even excited about what you got. But I want to tell you what I got. It is personal. It is a personal salvation. I'm glad my mama knew God. I'm glad my daddy knew God. I'm glad the forefathers before me knew God. But I'm glad to tell you tonight, I know who Jesus is. He is my Lord. He is my Savior. He is my high tower. He is my shepherd. He is my Redeemer. He is my anchor. He is my friend. He is my King. He is my Lord. I feel like the Shulamite girl when she said, my beloved is his and he is mine. Aren't you glad in the midst of a political unrest and a pandemic? There is one thing we know tonight. Our salvation is secure because it is a no-so salvation and it is a personal salvation. And I'm glad according to the text it is a forever salvation. I'm saved today and I'll be saved tomorrow. And a billion, zillion, trinity, infinity years from now, I'll still be a child of God. Notice how he words it in the text. He said, I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded, thoroughly convinced. It's not up for debate. It's non-negotiable. You can't moor me away from it. You can't talk me out of it. Hey! You can't talk somebody out of something they've already felt that in the depths of their soul. You can't talk somebody out of something that they know that's passed from death unto life. When you was there, Lord of God, I felt like preaching. When you was there when it happened, you felt the burden of sin roll away. You stepped by God out of darkness into light. You got born again by the precious Holy Ghost of God. The Word of God sprung up in you, washed in the blood of Jesus. I am persuaded, thoroughly convinced, that he, the one I believed upon, is able, capable, has the authority to keep guard, umpire, stand sentry. That which I've committed, placed at his disposal, placed into the deposit box of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. What I placed at his deposit box, what I placed at his disposal, what I have committed and took my hands off of, he is able to keep guard, umpire, watch over that until that day. Hallelujah. The pandemic can't do nothing about it. Wall Street can't do nothing about it. Fauci can't do nothing about it. Obama, Osama, or your mama can't do nothing about it. Hallelujah, it's secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God when the trouble comes and the wind blows and the lightning flashes. Saved by grace. Saved by grace. Saved today. Saved tomorrow. Saved throughout eternity. I'm glad tonight we're sure of that. In the midst of an unsure world, salvation is settled in Jesus Christ. Well, hallelujah. I got a revelation the other day. I did not know this, but my son and my daughter and their generation don't write checks. And I don't know how they buy groceries without writing checks. How do you pay your bills without writing checks? When I was a little boy growing up, I seen something I want. I'd say, Mama, I want that. She said, I ain't got no money. My number one comeback line was, write a check. And I thought that little blue slip was an endless source of meeting my needs. But my son and his generation, they don't write checks. I told him, I said, y'all gonna starve to death if you don't learn how to write checks. But how many like me, you got a checking account? Now, it ain't much to brag on. But you got one. Boy, you take that check down to the bank and stand in front of that bulletproof glass with your mask on. Slide that check under that glass. You have committed it. You have deposited in the safety deposit box. You have placed it in the security of that institution. And from the time that check leaves your fingertips, it is absolutely, totally impossible for you to lose that check. You may fall down in the parking lot of the bank. You may have a wreck going home from the bank. You may bump your head on the door when you get back home from the bank. But if that check is in the safety deposit box of that security, you can't lose something you ain't got. You can't lose something you're not holding. You can't lose something you're not keeping. You can't lose something you're not guarding. Thank God I'm glad that Thursday night, hallelujah, in Reidsville, North Carolina. Hey, I looked up and he looked down, and a transaction took place, and I placed my eternal destiny in the safety deposit box of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. And the lightning may flash, and the thunder may roll, and the wind may blow, and the devil may howl, corona, pandemic, political unrest, but he's keeping me, he's guarding me, he's overseeing me. I guess what I'm trying to say is, I'm so saved it's pitiful. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad in the midst of uncertain times, this one thing we know, salvation is settled in Jesus Christ. Boy, I got some more points, but I'm loving the far out of that verse right there. Notice he said, until committing him against that day. What day is that? Well, I found this out. Hadn't been married long when I found this out about a checking account. You gotta have something in there if you're gonna get something out of there. Boy, I wish my children would have got a hold of that. You can't draw nothing out if something hadn't been deposited. Because you deposit that check, because one day payday's coming, reckoning day's coming, and you're going to need to draw off of that. Woo! Honey, there's a day of coming when your church membership won't be enough, and your water baptism won't be enough, and your good works won't be enough, and I'll stand before the sovereign, holy, eternal, just God of the glory world, and I'd say, Lord, I sure would love to go in that place that you prepared. And God will say, why should the holy God of heaven like me allow somebody like you to get in this place? I'll say, Lord, check the ledger. Check the deposit book. Check it. Check it. And boy, there to be my name. And beside of it says, paid full in the blood of the Lamb. I'm glad when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'll be there. I'm glad tonight God wrote my name in the Lamb's book of life. I'm glad the devil can't erase it out. I can't erase it out. You can't erase it out, because God done wrote it in. Hallelujah. In the midst of perilous, unprecedented times, salvation secure in Jesus Christ. How am I going to continue? You're saved. That's how you're going to make it. Salvation is permanent. Oh, I got to hurry. Come to chapter 2 and verse number 1. How am I going to continue? What certain truth, uncertain time? Chapter 2, verse 1, I love this. My strength is powerful. Notice how this old man says to this young boy, thou, therefore, my son, listen to this, say it with me, be strong. Say that with me, be strong. Be strong. Can I say the message to the church tonight is not an anemic message. The message to the church tonight is not one of weakness. It is not one of intimidation. Be strong. Be strong. I know it's dark, but be strong. I know sin's at an all-time high, but be strong. I know apostasy has permeated the religious world, but be strong. Brother Steve, when I first read this, I said, Paul, how in the world can you tell that boy to be strong? Because I've read what you said in chapter 3. In chapter 3, you're going to tell that boy, son, you're going to face perilous, dangerous, unprecedented evil. You're going to see sin and apostasy like nobody before you has ever seen before. How can you tell that boy to be strong in that kind of environment? And the Holy Ghost said, read the rest of it, Joe. Read the rest of it, Joe. And here's the secret. Here's the source of his strength, yours and mine. Thou, therefore, my son, Be strong, said we in the next word, in the grace. In the grace. In the grace. In the grace that is in Christ Jesus. You know what that old man said to that young preacher? Son, God's grace has always been enough. It's still enough. And it always will be enough. I'm not in the race tonight because I'm smart, because I'm not. I'm not in the race because I'm good, because I'm not. I'm not in the race because I've been faithful, and God knows I've tried to be. But let me tell you why. Oh, JoJo's still here tonight. God's amazing grace. It's the grace of God. Aren't you glad in the midst of perilous times? The grace of God will not fail us. It cannot be exhausted. I'm glad tonight for God's amazing grace. And who better to tell young Timothy about grace than the greatest grace preacher that's ever lived, Paul. Because he's the one who said, I am what I am by the grace of God. He told the church at Ephesus, for by grace are you saved through faith. He told the Corinthian believers that all grace will always abound, that may have all sufficiency in all things. He's the one that wrote the second letter to the Corinthian church and said, when I had a thorn and it was painful and it hurt, I begged God three times for the Lord to remove it. And finally God said, I'm not going to remove it, but I'll tell you what I will do. My grace is sufficient for thee, and my strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm saved by grace. I'm kept by grace. I'm consoled by grace. I'm delivered by grace. I'm helped by grace. I'm sustained by grace. And I'm glad it's living grace. I'm glad it's dying grace. I'm glad it's forever grace. Someone said, how are we going to make it? God's grace will bring us through. God's grace will not fail you. Well, glory. Oh, I love them old hymns of the church. We're going to sing them at my place as long as I'm there. I love them old songs. And I love Amazing Grace. My daddy used to call it the Baptist National Anthem. And I like that first verse. And I like that second verse. And I really like that last verse. But the further I go with God, and the older I get, and the more stuff I go through, verse 3 means more to me tonight, whoop, than it ever has in my Christian life. Through. I like the first word of it. Through. You say, what does through mean? That means to go in one side and come out on another. Through many dangers, toils, and snares. And I love this line. I've already come. I wonder if there's anybody in this tabernacle tonight. You've already been through some dangers. You've already been through some toils. You've already been through some snares. And I want to tell you the grace of God that was sufficient and real and available yesterday. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, have already come. Tis grace that's brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on. God's grace did not fail my mother. mother. God's grace did not fail my father. God's grace did not fail your parents. God's grace did not fail your parents. The grace of God has never failed one of God's children, and it's not about to start tonight. Aren't you glad in a world full of sin and trouble? Lord God, can I quote some scripture? Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. I'm glad it's bigger than the devil. It's higher than the mountains. It's wider than the sea. It's deeper than the ocean. It reaches further down than man can reach up. Press on tonight. Continue tonight. Our strength is powerful because it rests tonight in God's sufficient, amazing, eternal grace. God's grace is enough. Chapter number 3, our text tonight. Verse number 15. What certain truth we have for uncertain time. How are we going to continue? Salvation's permanent. Our strength is powerful. But come tonight to chapter number 3. It says in verse number 14, continue. But verse number 15 tells us what we're going to continue in. And that from a child. And underline that and holler glory right there. And that from a child thou hast known. And I like this description. Holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise. Wise what? Wise unto salvation through faith that is in Christ Jesus. I'm glad tonight we're going to make it. We can continue. We have certain truth on certain time because the scriptures are profitable. You say, Brother Joe, how's a church going to make it in perilous times? How are we going to sail through dangerous waters? You're holding it in your hand. The word of the living God, the holy scriptures. It is enough to keep you going when the going gets rough. I remember growing up in Daddy's little church. Our little church was musically challenged. You say, what does that mean, Dr. Arthur? Cut nobody in our sang. That's what it means. And a lot of times my dad, before he'd preach, he'd say, come here, Ma. Let's me and you sang one. And they weren't always nigh to the note. But I promise you, they were nigh to the cross. Now, when he said, Mom, me and you sang one, it meant one of three. They only knew three. But that they would sing at church. That Marshall Pack song, well, every hour and every day and every moment in every way, I'm leaning on Jesus, the rock of my soul. And my little mama, oh Lord, have I ever told you how mixed up my family was? My daddy was a Baptist, dead Baptist. Dry Baptist, had one revival a year, second week of August, had one invitation of year, second Sunday of August. If you got under conviction the third Sunday of August, you hope you didn't go to hell to the second Sunday of the next August. Lord, have mercy. Daddy was saved but didn't know a thing about how to enjoy it. But now my mama, oh, I hope I'm among friends. I hope I'm among friends. Feel better. She was first class, car toting, bona fide, all gifts included, Church of God. Brother preaching runs in my family. My aunt was an evangelist. And I'm going to tell you, my Aunt Hazel could preach better than some Baptists I know. Woo! Daddy was saved but didn't know how to enjoy it. Mama was saved and she wasn't sure for how long, but she enjoyed what she had. And then mama and daddy got together and all of a sudden my mama got to believing like my daddy, but then my daddy got to acting like my mama. And then they had me and I got the best of both worlds. I believe like a Baptist and roll around in it like a holy roller. Hallelujah. You say, I don't like holy roller. I like it because if you're saved, you ought to be holy. And if you're rolling, you're going somewhere. And if you want to swap insults, I'd rather be called holy roller than prune face. Woo! My mama's been a Baptist for 70, and she'll still do that on you. Hallelujah. I like it. Woo! If they didn't sing that Marshall Pack every hour, they'd sing the Jimmy Davis song. Come home, it's supper time. When I preach to the Yankees, I say, come home, it's dinner time. Boy, I like that supper time. Or it would be in times like these. In the throes of World War II, Mrs. Jones penned down these powerful words. In times like these, we need the Bible. In times like these, I love you, Daddy. Oh, be not idle. Be sure, be very sure. Your anchor holds and grips the solid rock. Boy, Mama would come down to sing that refrain, and she'd get plumb personal. In times like these, I have a Savior. In times like these, I have an anchor. I'm very sure. I'm very sure. Aren't you glad in the midst of uncertain times? Hallelujah. Amen. We're sure, we're very sure that the anchor holds and it grips the solid rock. I'm glad to tell you tonight, the thousands may fall and the stars may fall and the moon stagger like a drunken man and the gold turns to ashes and the silver turns to sand. God's word still stands. Woo! And he said, when you was a child, boy, they poured it in you. And one day, whoop, it made you wise. I'm trying to hurry, but I still got this big bubble. I love Sunday school. I love it. I've been to college and seminary. I know you can't tell it, but I try not to let it bother me. And I don't know all of my teachers and professors, but I can name you every Sunday school teacher. I remember my first one well. Her name was Mrs. Wilson. I got this little series of things I tell, you know you're old if you remember a payphone, if you remember a phone book, Mercurochrome, methylate, castor oil. When women cooked, God wasn't in that point. No. Long play albums. Ralph Sexton said his great-grandson came up to him and said, Papa Ralph, I found a giant CD. Woo! How many remembers the flannel graph they used in Sunday school? You say, what was flannel graph, Brother Arthur? It was some pictures with Bible characters, and it had some graph on the back, and you stuck it to flannel. Flannel graph. That ought to impress you right there. Boy, Miss Wilson, she was a master at it. She'd put that little picture up, maybe of David with that sling. Maybe that one of Moses with that rod. Maybe Daniel stroking that lion's mane. That little boy with that basket and a little fish head sticking out of it. But the one that used to tear my nerves up was that one with Jesus knocking on that door. And I hear Miss Wilson say, "Now, honey, whoop, one day he's going to knock. And when he does, open the door, youngins." Oh, I remember that. I don't know what book she read. I don't know what crash course she took. I don't know what online degree she got. But to this day, Mrs. Wilson is the best I've ever seen. That no matter where she started, she'd get to Jesus. I don't know how she could go from Moses to Abraham to Daniel, but it wouldn't be long till she got to Jesus. And I want to tell you, I didn't get saved then. But as a 16-year-old preacher's boy, lost without God, a half a heartbeat from hell, when Holy Ghost conviction came, my mind went back to them Sunday school lessons. You say, "Preacher, what good does it do to teach them?" I'll tell you what it does. When sin lets them down, and when dope lets them down, and when the world lets them down, the Holy Ghost of mass recall, and he'll say something like this: if he's big enough to defeat the giant, if he's big enough to defeat the lions, if he's big enough to separate the Red Sea, he's big enough to save and emancipate and deliver. Aren't you glad tonight? In uncertain times, we have a certain truth that the scriptures are profitable. Our strength is powerful. Our salvation is permanent. And then in chapter 4, and I'll be done, the Savior's soon return is promised. Someone said, "How are we going to get through?" Well, Jesus may come and take us out of it. You say, "Oh, my soul, do you still believe in the visible, physical, literal returning of Jesus Christ?" Yes! Chapter 4, verse number 6. I'm trying to, Donnie. Lord, have mercy. In chapter number 6, he speaks like a sacrifice. I'm ready to be offered. He speaks like a sailor. The time of my departure is at hand. He speaks like a soldier. I fought a good fight. He speaks like a sprinter. I finished my course. He speaks like a saint and a steward and a servant. I have kept the faith. Verse 8, henceforth, because of, in the light of, various, hallelujah, laid up for me a crown of righteousness, whom the Lord, and Lord God, I love this, the righteous judge. There may not be a righteous judge in Russia. There may not be a righteous judge in China. There may not be a righteous judge in Washington. But I'm down on a sovereign throne of heaven. There is the righteous judge, the high, holy, potentate of heaven, the king of every king, and the Lord of every lord. And I'm glad he's coming. Woo! And the cross and the course and the conflict will be worth the crown. The epiphany, the appearing, the manifestation of Jesus Christ. Woo! And all of his glory. It will. And it is worth it all. You say, "How are we going to keep going?" He may get us and we won't have to keep. We'll just shout it out. I'm glad he's coming. You believe he's coming? Jesus said, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receiving myself that where I am, there you may be also. I will not have you be your brethren concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not even as others that have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even to them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, which are allowed men to come of the Lord, shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them of the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. I ain't singing, wait a little longer, please, Jesus. I'm singing, amen. Even so, come, amen. Even so, come. This one thing I am sure of, Jesus is coming. One more itch and let me scratch. Didn't you get tired of hearing last year? May I have your attention, please? Due to the present pandemic, such and such has been canceled, postponed, or delayed. Let me tell you what you ain't never gonna hear. Woo! You're gonna never hear, you'll never hear our Lord say, children, may I have your attention, please? Due to the signs of the time and all the sin of the world and due to the pandemic, the second coming of my son has been canceled. You ain't gonna hear that, because in spite of the world, in spite of the pandemic, he that will come and will not tarry. Press on. Pray on, shout on, preach on. The best is yet to come. Well, glory. One little more itch. I was on a plane a while back, and this lady sat down beside of me. And I could tell she was educated, because she wore her glasses on the end of her nose, where it paints them, and she talked like that. And she looked over there and said, oh my God, is that a Bible? I said, a what? She said, is that a Bible? I said, it's a Bible. She said, oh my God. I said, he's all in there. Just look, he's all in there. She said, you don't believe it, do you? I said, every last word. She said, I don't believe any of it. I said, I believe all of it. So I thought I'd break my education out. So I got my glasses. And I said, Madame, may I present to you a question? What? I said, do you know how to fly a 747? She said, what's that got to do with it? I said, well, I was talking to that pilot up there. He's a born-again Christian. He lives in Peachtree City, just right down the road from the airport, about 30 minutes. She said, so? I said, well, I just want to tell you, if we get up there about 35,000 feet and the rapture takes place, y'all have fun, sweetie. Thank God, aren't you glad we're not being left behind? I'm not going to hell. I'll not be at the great white throne. I'll live in glory. My name's on the roll. Heaven is my home. Jesus is my Savior. The Holy Ghost is my comforter. The Bible is my book. Hallelujah. Press on. Press on. Press on. And I'm pressed out.